Alexandra Quick and the Wizard War by Inverarity, read by Sam Gabriel. Chapter 14. Neo.
So, like, secrecy is a thing, you know? Don't give me that. I don't expect you to give me a map and itinerary, but don't fucking talk to me like you're about to go on a fucking suicide mission with no warning. Was it a suicide mission? Obviously. God damn it, Alex! Stop shouting at me, dork. I'm sorry, really, but you got no idea. I had to do things. Are you okay? Nice of you to ask. Yeah, I'm fucking awesome.
Alexandra knocked on Brian's bedroom window just after sunset, looking like a wild, wet, wind-blown thing. She'd left the storm far behind. It was cloudless over Lock and Mills, and the air was still warm.
What the hell, Alex?
Brian asked in a whisper, sliding his window open.
No, don't do that teleport thing.
He held out a hand. Alexandra blinked at him through drops of water still running down her face, then allowed him to help her up.
Apparating would be quieter, she said.
Brian shook his head.
I'm not sure you should be here.
She looked at the door. Your folks getting suspicious?
You've been acting kind of crazy lately.
I'll go if you want.
Are you going to tell me about the Wizard War?
If you want. They always danced around this subject. Alexandra had promised to tell him whatever he wanted to know, but warned him that knowing too much could be dangerous. Brian was apprehensive about the wizarding world, but he also wanted to know about the forces that had taken his sister. There was one thing she hadn't told him yet. She had been unable to tell him for weeks, but she knew she had to. She waited until later that night. The two of them were tangled in Brian's bedsheets and breathing heavily. She didn't exactly think it was the best time to bring this up, but she didn't know when would be a better time, so she just said it.
I found him.
Brian's breathing slowed, and he became very still.
I should have told you before. I wasn't sure how to tell you.
He didn't say anything. Alexandra swallowed and said, in a very quiet voice,
I couldn't do it.
In the darkness, Brian rolled closer to her, but he didn't touch her. A sliver of moonlight fell on her face from the edge of his window. She could feel his eyes on her, but she couldn't make out his face.
He was a disgusting pig, she said, trying to keep her voice steady, though guilt threatened to choke her.
I could have killed him. It would have been so easy. I wanted to.
In the long silence that followed, neither of them moved. Then Brian asked,
Why didn't you?
She closed her eyes.
I'm sorry, Brian. I've already seen more killing than I want to, and it's hardly even begun. I always thought I could do anything I have to, but I guess I'm not that ruthless after all.
So what happens to him?
You probably really shouldn't hear all the details because it involves someone else, but he's been punished, and he won't ever hurt anyone else.
Brian let out a long sigh.
I should never have let you promise to do that, he said.
You didn't let me do anything.
I wanted to avenge Bonnie too, but I don't know if I could kill someone. What kind of person expects his girlfriend to do something like that for him?
Alexandra wanted to object to all of that. That he hadn't expected her to do it for him, that she hadn't really asked him, that he had in fact had very little say in the matter, and also that she wasn't sure how she felt about being a girlfriend, but she said none of that.
Don't feel bad about not killing him, Alex, he said.
The bastard deserved to die.
Yeah, he said, but I'm glad you didn't do it.
I'm not. Don't think I'm noble. I have blood on my hands. I'm probably going to have to do things you really wouldn't like.
You've already been doing things I don't like. I wish you'd told me about this earlier, Alex. If I'd known this was what was bothering you, I might have understood why you acted so weird the night you came back. And then went after Billy like that.
He was reaching for her, but Alexandra lifted her head and said,
What are you talking about?
The night you'd said you'd gone to avenge Bonnie, you were so mean. Remember when I told you to go home because I didn't like the way you called me a muggle, and then you asked where Billy Boggleston lived?
Alexandra sat up.
What the hell? Seriously, you were kind of scary. I was actually afraid of what you were going to do to Billy.
I didn't do anything to Billy.
That's not what he said.
What did Billy say?
Alexandra kept her voice controlled as cold rage replaced the heat that had until a moment ago been soaking her skin with sweat.
Seriously? You did some horror movie crap outside his house and destroyed his truck. Are you going to tell me you don't remember doing that?
No, she said as she climbed out of bed. I'm going to tell you it wasn't me.
Brian was sitting up now. He was still a shadow with the light behind him.
It wasn't you? How was that?
Oh, shit. She couldn't see his face, but he must have put two and two together. She told him why she wanted his hair.
Yeah, oh shit.
She conjured her clothes back onto her body and then said, Lumos. Brian blinked in the light cast by her wand. Alexandra held out her left wrist.
Anytime you need proof that I'm me, she said, ask to see Nigel or Charlie.
Nigel emerged from her wrist, writhing and alive.
Polyjuice potion can't do that.
Brian swallowed nervously as the snake raised its head and flicked a tongue in his direction.
Who was it? He asked.
Someone who's about to have some horror movie crap done to her.
Alexandra restored Nigel to a tattoo and disapparated out of Brian's room. The first floor of the Pruitt School was dark. Alexandra ascended the stairs in a rage. On the third floor, Goody Pruitt greeted her in an equally foul mood.
I suppose you've been carrying on like a beast, just like that other creature,
the portrait said.
What the hell are you talking about? Alexandra snarled.
I'm talking about that foul pagan sorceress,
Goody Pruitt spat, or would have spat if she weren't oil on canvas.
No surprise that you're two of a kind. I blame your father for allowing you to cast away your respectability and virtue.
Trust me, my father had nothing to do with any virtue I cast away.
Alexandra glared at the bonneted bigot.
You know, you and Hella should get along. She certainly shares your view of Muggles.
She certainly does not.
Goody Pruitt's face contorted in disgust.
She revels in the same sort of debasement you do.
Debasement?
Alexandra was ready to unleash some of her anger on Goody Pruitt, which would have been petty and pointless, and there was little she could do to the portrait, as it was immovable and indestructible. But then she heard sounds coming from the closed office down the hall, which was a lounge when the school was in session. At first, the moans and cries sounded like someone in pain, but as Goody Pruitt's lips curled into a sneer, Alexandra realized what the old crone had been going on about.
You've got to be kidding me, she said.
She stomped down the hall to the lounge. She didn't stop to wonder just who Hella might be with before she threw open the door.
Oh, my God.
She closed the door, stepped back, and leaned against the opposite wall. She closed her eyes, trying to banish the sight from her mind. She heard their voices and the sound of frantic movement from the other side of the door. Several minutes later, the door opened, and Hella and Billy Boggleston, fully dressed, stepped into the hallway. Hella glowered at Alexandra. Billy just looked sheepish.
Forget what you saw, said Hella.
Believe me, I wish I could, Alexandra said.
Hey, look, Alexandra,
Billy said, in what was possibly the most civil tone she'd ever heard from him, but Hella immediately turned and cut him off.
Go home, boy.
Okay, Hella, Billy said. So docilely that Alexandra's attention immediately focused on him, he paused.
When can I see you again?
I will find you when I wish.
Okay, Hella.
Billy touched her arm with such a fatuous expression that Alexandra struggled not to gag.
You can call me or text me anytime.
Wait, I haven't given you my number.
I do not need your number.
But how will you find me then?
Billy whined.
I will find you, boy. Don't worry about how.
Okay, Hella.
Billy looked like he wanted to drink her with his eyes.
Can I kiss you goodbye?
He towered over the small, dark girl, yet the hulking bully who had antagonized Alexandra her entire childhood seemed like a puppy in Hella's presence. Hella rolled her eyes and reached one hand up to cup his chin. She turned her scarred cheek toward him and allowed him to kiss her, while keeping hold of his chin, then pushed him away.
That's enough. Go, or I will be annoyed with you.
Okay, Hella. Billy sounded both fearful of her annoyance and heartbroken at being banished. He turned and shuffled down the corridor with several glances back over his shoulder. He looked as if he'd come scampering back on his hands and knees should Hela so much as snap her fingers. He walked right past Goody Pruitt, who remained silent. Alexandra and Hela glared at each other while Billy's footsteps clomped down the stairs.
"How is he going to get past the fence and the muggle-repelling charms?" Alexandra asked.
Hela waved a hand dismissively. "I put some ointment on his eyes to let him see through it. It will last for a day at least."
"What else did you give him?"
Alexandra asked in a much sharper tone. Hela smirked. "What are you talking about?"
"I'm talking about Amortentia."
Alexandra's voice shook with fury.
"You gave him a love potion, didn't you? What the hell is wrong with you?"
Hela's eyes narrowed. Alexandra could almost see the gears turning in her head, weighing denial against defiance.
"So what? I didn't hurt him."
Alexandra clenched her fists.
"I told you when you arrived here, you're not to abuse any muggles or use magic on them. I told you that everyone in Larkin Mills is under my protection."
"Who are you to tell me anything?"
Hela snapped.
"You think just because you're Abraham Thorne's most precious daughter, you have authority over me? You do not. And I'm tired of your arrogant, self-righteous attitude. I will do what I please with whomever I please."
Alexandra's hands unclenched. She stood up straight, relaxed her posture, and all the anger left her voice, replaced by a deadly calm.
"No, you won't."
Hela sensed the sudden change in Alexandra's demeanor. Again, Alexandra saw the other witch calculating, conflicted. Hela was proud, but she wasn't as confident as she pretended.
"Everyone knows you also do as you please, and you use people, and as for your personal affairs," Hela sneered. "What's the difference between us, Alexandra?"
Alexandra turned her back on Hela and walked a few steps away from her toward the stairs.
"Goody Pruitt!"
she shouted.
"What is it now, girl?"
demanded the portrait.
"Do you mean to taunt me with your—
Coduello!"
Alexandra yelled.
"What in Merlin's name are you heathen witches doing?"
"Coduello!"
Alexandra repeated.
"Did you hear me?"
"I heard you,"
Goody Pruitt said faintly.
"Bear witness!"
Alexandra turned back to Hela.
"Even my father will respect the Coduello, so I don't want you claiming that this was unfair, that you had to hold back because you were afraid of hurting Abraham Thorne's daughter."
Hela's sneer faded. She returned Alexandra's stare with a hard stare of her own, but Alexandra read everything she needed to. With forced casualness, Hela said, "You're being very dramatic. He's just a muggle boy. From what he told me, you aren't even friends."
"No, we aren't," Alexandra said, "and that just makes this worse. You actually managed to make me feel sorry for Billy Boggleston."
"There's no need for you to feel sorry for him. I assure you, he enjoyed it."
Icily, Alexandra said, "Draw your wand." Hela frowned.
"You want to duel me for possession of this boy? There's no need. You can have him."
Alexandra raised her wand.
"Draw, you vile cunt!"
Hela drew her wand, and Alexandra flung a cutting curse at her without further warning. Hela's reflexes were good, but it was a near thing. Her eyes widened as she deflected the lethal silver blade into the wall next to her.
"So that's how it is," she said.
"That's how it is," Alexandra said. "Sectum Sempra!"
Hela cast a shield charm. Almost a moment too late, she flinched as the unfamiliar spell lashed against it. Then she cast a spell of her own, blasting ice down the corridor. Alexandra cast a fire charm, followed by a spray of black spikes that rebounded off the walls and floor and ceiling, attacking Hela from all directions. Hela warded off the fire and managed to protect herself with a defensive charm, but not before a black spike slashed her arm and another stabbed her in the hip. Gritting her teeth, she pulled the spike out of her side with one hand while casting a blasting charm at Alexandra with the other. This blew a hole in the floor at Alexandra's feet, but Alexandra had already apparated directly in front of Hela, with her wand pointed at her chest.
"Kaidaris!"
An expanding green ball of light threw Hela down the corridor, almost into the large room at the far end. Alexandra advanced slowly as Hela picked herself up off the floor.
"All right," Hela said.
Her sides heaved as she inhaled painfully. Blood trickled from one nostril.
"You've made your point. I will leave the muggle alone. I was just trying to enjoy myself a little in this hot, miserable town. I didn't hurt the boy."
"You don't understand my point at all,"
Alexandra said. She conjured black whips from her wand that snapped through the air. Hela cut through them with a slash from her own wand, but one connected with the side of her neck. She screamed in pain. Enraged, she cast a bone-breaking jinx. Alexandra deflected it and countered with a knee-reversal jinx, then another Kaidaris spell. Hela blocked the jinx and deflected the green ball of energy into the doorway, shattering wood and plaster, but she was hurt and angry and shaken. As she backed into the studio space filled with furniture brought up by Livia's clockworks, she and Alexandra exchanged more spells that collided with each other or their shield charms. Flaming clouds and magical blades and golden darts gouged the floor around them or careened off into the furniture or shattered glass panes. In less than a minute, Alexandra reckoned they destroyed most of the studio's windows. Livia would not be happy. A few months ago, Harriet Isengrim had tried to kill Alexandra in a very similar wizard duel. As in that duel in a girl's bathroom in New Amsterdam, the two witches maneuvered around the space, wreaking havoc as they tried to find a weakness in the other's defenses. Hela filled the air with a storm of icy needles. Alexandra melted them before they touched her skin. She pressed her own attacks relentlessly, and Hela, bruised and bleeding, was faltering. Alexandra beat her down with hexes, countering Hela's spells, never quite finishing her, until she saw realization dawning in her opponent's eyes, and with it, fear. Hela snarled something angrily in her language and called a black mist up out of the floor. The temperature in the room dropped below freezing in an instant. Alexandra swept her wand up and spoke an incantation that produced a burst of sunlight blazing overhead, blinding hot. Hela raised a hand to shield her eyes, and Alexandra threw her across the studio with a levitation spell. Hela hit a sofa and flipped over it hard. Alexandra animated the sofa to fly at her. Hela cried, "Defindo!" and cut it in half, but the halves kept battering her until she cut them into more pieces. Conjuring a gust of wind, Alexandra threw Hela the rest of the way across the room. She went skidding over the wooden floor. Hela picked herself up much more slowly this time. She raised her wand to defend herself, though it was obvious to both of them that Alexandra could have finished her in the time it took her to rise. Alexandra's next spell was a shout that echoed through the studio.
"Fenestra!"
All the windows behind Hela exploded inward. Glass flew through the air in a storm. Hela cast a shield charm. Alexandra yelled, "Barak!" And lightning flashed inside the studio, tearing through Hela's shield charm. Hela convulsed and screamed, and her black hair glittered with sharp fragments of glass. Hela opened her mouth, and Alexandra clenched her teeth together and with a snap of her wand popped a board out of the floor beneath the other witch. It unbalanced Hela, and Alexandra made the board fly all the way free with another wand gesture, launching it into Hela's back like a wooden fist. It struck her hard and clattered to the floor. Hela's face turned gray and she staggered. Alexandra let her fall. Hela collapsed, groaned, then unsteadily rose to her feet. "I yield," she said.
"Kneel,"
Alexandra said. Hela's eyes bulged.
"What?"
Alexandra said.
"Suspendo!"
Hela was lifted off the ground as if by an invisible noose and hung there choking for several seconds.
"Did you think this was just a slap fight?" Alexandra asked. "Do you think I just lost my temper over fucking Billy Boggleston? I'm not playing around. I'm not going to wait for you to turn on me again. I'm not going to worry about you abusing Muggles. So you can kneel, you can fight, or you can die."
Hela's face was turning purple.
"Please, Alexandra," she gasped.
Her wand fell from her fingers. Alexandra released her, and she fell to the floor next to her wand.
"Get up,"
Alexandra said. Hela shook her head, trembling.
"Pick up your wand and stand up," Alexandra said, "or get on your knees."
Hela swallowed hard. She rolled over, pushed herself up onto her hands and knees, and slowly straightened her back. She stayed kneeling, with her head bowed, her shoulders shook, her clothing was shredded, and she was covered in blood and glass. She drew ragged breaths, wheezing in pain. Alexandra banished pity from her mind. If she didn't crush Hela now, she thought, she would have to do worse later.
"Accio wand," she said.
and how his wand flew into her hand. She knew a little bit of wand lore. She'd been told that her powerful but unkenned Yu wand would never obey her properly because its owner, her mother, was still alive. But taking a wand in a duel was supposed to make a wand yours. She wished she had just a fragment of Ozarker knowledge. Even knowing a little bit of what Granny Pritchard had taught Constance and Forbearance would be useful right now, how different Hela's wand felt in her hand. It was small, hard, sharp, and wicked, like its owner. I own you now, she thought. Just like I own the bitch I took you from. She clenched it in her fist. The horn wand resisted, and like Hela, its resistance broke. She dropped the horn wand on the floor next to Hela. Hela didn't move. Would you like some time to heal? Alexandra asked. I'll give you a rematch if you want. But next time there will be no yielding, understand? Hela moaned. With her head still bowed, she said, No, Alexandra, please. It hurts. Sweat dripped from her forehead. Bow, Alexandra said. Hela hesitated for just a moment, then slowly leaned forward. She pressed her palms to the floor and lowered herself until her forehead almost touched the ground. Alexandra circled around her slowly, letting her footsteps echo in the studio. Through the shattered windows, they could hear the sound of traffic outside. She leaned over the prostrate girl and said, The difference between you and me. I wouldn't have kneeled. Hela made a whimpering sound in the back of her throat. Alexandra planted a boot on Hela's back and the other girl groaned in pain. From now on, Alexandra said, The only words I want to hear out of your mouth are yes, Alexandra, or no, Alexandra. Unless I ask you a question or you need to tell me something. She leaned forward, pressing her weight into Hela's back. Hela squirmed and whimpered.
Yes, Alexandra.
The first thing you're going to do, Alexandra said in a low voice, is find Billy Bungleston and give him the antidote to your love potion. Then you're going to explain to him exactly what you did to him, and then you're going to beg the Muggle boy for forgiveness.
Yes, Alexandra.
No matter what he does, you're not going to hurt him or use magic on him, do you understand?
Yes, Alexandra,
Hela said through gritted teeth.
Please?
Alexandra took her foot off her adversary and stood up. Go clean yourself up, so Billy doesn't freak out when he sees you.
Yes, Alexandra.
Hela struggled to rise. She made it to one hand and both knees. Then her limbs wobbled and she collapsed again. She lay there, shuddering. Alexandra had never felt so powerful and so dreadful. Maybe this was what she had seen in her father's face when she'd begged him to spare Diana Grimm's life. Fix all this damage, she said. Around them, the top floor of the Pruitt School had been burned and blasted, the windows shattered, the floor torn up, the furniture blown apart.
Yes, Alexandra, Hela groaned.
And lastly, no one wears a fur parka in August. Find something else to wear when you're among muggles.
Yes, Alexandra.
Hela's voice was almost gone. She just lay there, as if waiting to be kicked some more. Alexandra walked away from Hela, her boots crunching on broken glass. She stepped over the hole blasted in the floor outside the teacher's lounge and walked past Goody Pruitt, who watched her pass with wide eyes. She hadn't seen the duel, but she must have heard Alexandra's words and remembered how she had lost control against Franklin Percival Brown. She wondered if Brown had felt like this, trying to torture Penny Oscar into submission. Was that who she was becoming? Outside, she took a deep breath of fresh air, wincing at the sting in her lungs. She walked home with a sense of weariness and triumph. She thought maybe she should feel bad about what she'd done, but she wasn't sure she did. For the text of this and other stories, as well as news and updates about Alexandra Quick, visit inverarity.livejournal.com. Troublesome, composed by Dr. James Benninghoff. Charmbridge, composed by As I Walk Into the Abyss Blinded. Special thanks to Sakiko, Ali, and Theo. If you would like to get in touch with me or simply listen to more stories that I've read, visit samgabrielvo.com and join my Discord server to learn how you can support this project and hear episodes recorded live. And finally, as always, thank you for listening.